worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having an absolutely terrific day today. Lots of stuff, as always, in this wild country. That's one thing I have to say right now. Dad and I were discussing this the other day. This is not a boring time to be alive. This is definitely something unprecedented here in the United States that we've ever seen before, with how all these things are starting to come together for the big picture that we've talked about for years, and why it's so important that everyone, all of our listeners, all your friends, get this information out there and keep waking people up. At the same time, we see this concocted, twisted narrative about this COVID-19 and all the stuff that's going on, and we have plenty of information on that. We're seeing that more and more incidences of race baiting with the mainstream media is becoming unbelievably present. You know, the one incident that we saw, the horrific incident in Georgia we talked about, with the two white men that shot the guy that was basically either running from something or jogging, whatever the true story is, the media has blasted it nonstop, continually, for the last week. And on the other thing, we have the media completely choosing to ignore the black male in Delaware that murdered an 85 and 86 year old white couple in a graveyard with a scope 5.56 rifle, it appeared to be. And there was no incident, nothing. He just said he basically felt like hunting somebody, and so he did that. And of course, nobody's talking about that. And then one thing we saw today that I thought was really interesting is the left wing propaganda site Raw Story posted an article about the Ohio man accused in a plot to ambush and kill federal agents. Now, what's really, really twisted about this is they posted an article of their own opinion discussing this incident. So it says, Ohio man arrested for plotting to kidnap police and stockpile their weapons for an uprising. Well, when you pull up the article, it's a photo of three white males in plate carriers and body armor basically standing there that were from a much earlier previous protest as far as months ago. I think it was going back to the incident in Virginia. They took that photo and they posted it for the Ohio man arrested for plotting to kidnap police and stockpile their weapons for an uprising. Well, when you actually pull up the article, the real story about what's going on, the incident is completely different. The actual suspect is 20-year-old Christian Stanley Ferguson, a black male who was arrested on charges to concoct an elaborated plan to kidnap law enforcement officers and stockpile their weapons. Now, I'm not bringing this up to try to blame either side or cause any type of racial tension. That's never what I try to do on this story. I've got friends of all races, and I respect everybody. But what I don't respect is blatant hypocrisy in the mainstream media that has to be addressed when we see single incidences that are bad get played over on mainstream media day and night, over and over and over again, with the sole purpose of the narrative of trying to create as much civil unrest and race baiting as possible. And then you see incidences that occur like this, where they intentionally lie to the populace and post up photos that aren't even related to try to make it appear of something that it's not. So I would just encourage everybody, do your research. When you see the media play something, as I've told you guys before, about 99%, 95 to 99% of the media, what they put out there is either twisted, either manipulated, either blatant lies, or simply there to focus the narrative in the direction that they want. So you always have to ask yourself these questions. Who is publishing this, and who does it benefit, and what is the motive behind the story? As we have seen now, that basically we know now that Fauci is trying to do everything they can to prevent people from using, letting their kids go back to school. This was interesting, as I saw some of the article and what he discussed. He did an interview, and let me tell you what they're doing here. He went on this Skype interview on C-SPAN, and he went on to say that I would tell, in this case, the idea of having treatments available or a vaccine to facilitate the reentry of students in the fall term would be something that would be a bit of a bridge too far. He was discussing the topic of opening schools up in the fall, and he said, no, there's no way we're going to be able to open up university schools in the fall. You're going to have to continually homeschool your kids. Now, on the positive side of this, you're going to be able to control the actual truth and give your children the truth of what's really going on. and teach them real history and what's happening. On the second part of this, what they're intentionally trying to do, and this is my opinion, they're telling everybody, we will not have a vaccine available to facilitate the re-entry of students into the fall. He's telling you guys what they're planning on doing. They're telling you that they are not going to allow children to go back to school until the children are vaccinated. That's what he's saying right now. The reason why they're doing this and extending it out is because they want to make sure they have a full vaccine in place that they can mandate for children to go back to school. And at the same time, they're going to make sure that parents, by the time this occurs at the end of the year, most parents that are still trying to work and manage and daycares are closed and take care of their kids and teach their kids at home are going to be so burned out and so tired. Basically, they're going to do anything they can to get their children back in school so they can have a relief, a break from having to basically homeschool their kids while they work. That, in my opinion, is what they're doing, and then they want to have a vaccine in place so they can say the school's reopened, everything's great, just one little caveat, you have to vaccinate your child or else he's not going to be able to go back to school. Now, here's what they're going to continue to do, in my opinion. They're going to have a roster of all the children that are basically vaccinated that are back in the school. They've already said what they're going to do in Canada. If you don't get your child vaccinated, they're going to seize them via Child Protective Services, and they're going to say, you've basically failed to provide health benefit or basically provide adequate health requirements for your child. You're no longer allowing them to go into school, so you're basically being a derelict parent with their education. And we have to basically seize your child, vaccinate them, and then they can go back in the school system. And when we deem you acceptable, peasant, we'll allow you to have your children back. That, in my opinion, is where this is headed. Now, that may seem real far out there right now, but guys, what we have already seen just in the last 2 months in this country should show you that they are willing to stop at nothing to control the narrative, to control the population, and by all things, control the younger generation. And I think that is one of the big elements and the big goals that I'm starting to see here now across the board, that these clowns really want to get in your children's head and be able to show you, the parent, that you have absolutely zero control over your child. The state owns them, and they will do with them as they please, which is a very, very terrifying thing to see as a parent, especially when the fact that we see so many incidences, including last year with the State Department coming out. If you guys remember this, basically Jeff Rogers, co-founder of the United States Institute of Human Trafficking, came out and said on Fox News, the United States is the number one consumer of sex worldwide. And he said the issue we're having is the driving demand with our own people, with our own kids. So there's tremendous number of kids, a multitude of kids that are being sold to sex slavery today in America. Listen to this, guys. This is what he said last year. These are American kids, American born, and 50 to 60% of them coming into sex slavery are coming out of the foster care industry. Even Secretary of State Mike Pompeo discussed the aspects of trafficking and discussed the issues that they're having in the United States. And of course, they're telling you what's going on. You just have to open your eyes and ears and listen to it and be aware and awake of what's going on, Dad.
Every day I try to bring it up about how the entire planet is controlled by a sex, death, cult ring. Basically, it's mafiosa. And it's true. Child Protective Services loses kids all the time. Supposedly, they say, well, they ran away and they disappeared. Well, that's not true. You know, we've seen now, and it's been documented, they've actually been transferred to different places knowing they were going to be basically sold. And we see all this crazy stuff. Now, I'm not saying it happens every single time, but we see corrupt officials, including judges, in the middle of this mess. So we have to be really careful. Now, people say, well, there aren't enough people in Child Protective Services to take all of the children away from the parents come school time. Well, they don't have to take all of the children away because the majority of the parents are going to give their child the coronavirus vaccine. It's probably going to be 90%. I mean, so you're going to have 90 to 95% of the parents are just going to capitulate and say, look, I've had it with the brats being home. I can't homeschool them. They won't listen. Something's wrong with them, probably mercury toxicity, aluminum toxicity from all the vaccines. They got to go back into the educational system. They've been basically brainwashed as it is, and we can't communicate, and all they want to do is stay on their iPhones and their iPads all day, and they don't ever want to talk or even bring their head up from social media. This is the problem the parents are running into, and the parents are burning out saying, I can't deal with this anymore. And you're right, Austin. DeFalci is going to push this. You know, it's interesting. I pulled up a picture. I'm going to have it posted on our website, and it says the Carnegie Medal of Philanthropy in 2001. And there's a picture here of the who's who of the liberal elite all standing together. Barbara Walters, George Soros, Bill Gates Sr., Tom Brokaw, and Anthony Fauci. I mean, they're all together in this photograph. And you're like, what the heck, man? Really? Yeah, they're actually all here. And also, let's not forget David Rockefeller. He's also in the picture. And you know, the sad part about this is that, you know, when you look at this and you see it, you kind of go, what the heck? You know, what the heck? What are these guys doing? Well, they're all sitting here at the Carnegie Medal of Philanthropy. This is like, I would call this a who's who of Rothschild cutouts is what this is. And it's sad because I'm gonna post this on our Facebook page with no comments to it because I don't want to have it censored. But you'll see Ted Turner, Bill Gates Sr., David Rockefeller, Richard Parsons, David McCullough, Barbara Walters, Brooke Astor. This list goes on and on and on of just good old-fashioned communists. And again, remember who the communists are. Never forget who they are and what they did as far as what they did in the Russian Revolution and who financed that. That would be the international banking cartels again. And, of course, Ted Turner's also in this picture. So, I mean, so all of this stuff is just unbelievable. This is actually happening around us. And again, Donald Trump knows this. Donald Trump knows who Fauci is. Donald Trump sends out tweets every single day. Why hasn't he exposed Fauci? Why hasn't he talked about Dr. Judy Mikovits and what Fauci did to her? Why doesn't he talk about the conflicting interests with him and Fauci and what Fauci's been doing with the vaccine industry? Trump knows all that. But what he says is, Fauci's a great guy, he's a good friend, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, kind of reminiscent of what he did with Hillary Clinton, isn't it, guys? Lock her up, lock her up. Oh, the Clinton are good people. No, you shouldn't say lock her up anymore. That's not nice. Gosh, guys. If you got friends who are still in this Q thing and they're still on this Donald Trump train, do your best to wake them up. We've been had. This guy's not who he said he was. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, why hasn't he come out now and said, I'm signing an executive order, or even go and send out a tweet or whatever he needs to do at this level, that we no longer need to close churches nationally. We can open them all up. And if the governor wants to keep the churches closed, it's up to him. But as far as I'm concerned, all church services can start. Because our governor in the state of Florida has said they're an essential infrastructure, but still no churches are happening because Donald Trump said no churches. And, you know, it's ridiculous that people are, like, following the federal edict like this. Of course, I'm sure it goes back into the 501(c)(3) stuff. But now we have a mega church pastor. He says the churches, his church will open on Sunday. And he says he's urging other pastors to join. Mega church pastor Brian Gibson of his church announced on Monday that his churches in Texas and Kentucky will hold in-person services on Sunday, May the 17th, and is calling on congregations nationwide to join him. I commend him. Now, again, these megachurch pastors, what they like to do, and again, it's because of the fact that they don't have to pay taxes on the money that's coming into the church. They don't have to depreciate a facility. In other words, if I buy a $100,000 building for Health Masters, I have to depreciate that $100,000 building over a 40-year period, which means even if I were had enough money, that'd be nice, to pay $100,000 for the building, I could only write off $2,500 a year for 40 years. And so if I had the money to pay for it and I paid it in advance and it was coming out of operating income, I would have to pay taxes on that money that I built the building with. Churches don't have to do that. If they have $100,000 come in, they can spend $100,000 on a building. They don't have to depreciate it. They don't have to recapture depreciation. They don't have any of those accounting requirements. None of it. They can do whatever they want to do. If they have $100 million come in, they can buy a plane, multiple planes, multiple facilities. They can do anything they want to do with that $100 million. And hence, here's the rub. The people basically who give them the $100 million get to write the $100 million off. And so we subsidize the church to the point of like unbelievably lavish lifestyle with some of these pastors. Now, I'm going to say one thing. there are a lot of churches out there that have God-fearing, really committed, really on fire preachers who aren't like this, who are really good people. And I've got a bunch of those guys who are my friends. I'm talking about the guys that are on the clergy response team, okay? The guys who march to the beat of the federal government. I'm talking about the guys who don't really preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, but kind of like are doing motivational lectures every Sunday. You know, like Robert Schuller. I know Robert Schuller. Very, very... He's dead now. That was not a nice person. Just gonna leave, I'm going to leave it there. Was not a nice person. But he was a good speaker, a good motivational speaker. And, you know, he was interesting. I did a bunch of seminars with him back in the 90s. But he was just an interesting guy. I could tell you stories, but if I did that, I'd have to do it on another show, and I wouldn't mention his name. I would just say there was this church pastor that everybody knows who he is. I would do one of those. So when you hear me do that, you know who I'm talking about. Maybe. I just thought I'd say maybe. And that's why, because I'm trying my best not to get out here and start naming names and doing everything else, because it just doesn't help anything. It really doesn't. And by the way, Donald Trump is yelling and screaming and raging against his foes as the coronavirus continues to spread, according to the mainstream media. The reality is, guys, the deaths of coronavirus have not passed 80,000 people. This is a complete and total lie. This is what the media is doing. I mean, chances are it's about a third of that actually attributable to coronavirus. The rest of them are other diseases or other immune system issues that were basically being part of the problem associated with having an impaired immune system when you come down with something like this. So it's really, really important for everybody to realize, keep your immune system strong. Take your D3. More and more studies are coming out on D3. Make sure when you take D3, take it with K2. Take potassium iodide. Take vitamin C. Now, one more thing. The Supreme Court is beginning a hearing on Donald Trump's financial records. Why won't Donald Trump basically put out his financial records? Well, what does he have to hide, honestly? Well, I can tell you what he has to hide, the same thing that Jeffrey Epstein had to hide. I don't believe for one second that Trump's a billionaire. I don't. I believe it's another Rothschild cutout. Rothschild Inc. paid off his bills and basically refinanced him in 89. I believe that they're running the show for him with all of his hotels and his casinos and his golf courses and all the other things. I believe he's underwritten by these guys, and his net worth is not even anywhere near $1 billion. He may be worth a couple hundred million, which is a lot of money, guys. I mean, that's still a very wealthy individual. But see, he has a persona of being a billionaire. That's his thing. Look at me, how brilliant I am. I'm so brilliant. I took $10 million from my father's money, and I made myself a multi-billionaire. It's a lie. It's another lie. He lies all the time. Okay? He's not a billionaire, and he doesn't want to release his financial records because he doesn't want you to know that. You know, when Jeffrey Epstein was the billionaire, you know, he was worth, what, $400 or $500 million, which is still a sizable amount of money. Same thing they did with J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan was supposed to be one of the wealthiest people in the world. And when he died, they found out he really was wealthy, but he wasn't one of the wealthiest people in the world. He was a Rothschild do-boy. And see, this is what the Rothschilds do. You know, it doesn't seem strange to you have some of these people become worth $20, $30, $40, $50 billion, and then they put the money into a nonprofit trust, you know, to basically shelter it. You're thinking about, well, how do they do that? I mean, how do they put all that money into a nonprofit trust? Well, there's all kinds of ways to do that from a tax standpoint that probably aren't available to you and me, but we don't have that kind of money anyhow, so what difference does it make? But these guys have to put it somewhere so that the real keepers of the money, in my opinion now, have control of it. In other words, they don't want them going out and spending $50 billion. Of course, it would be very difficult to spend $50 billion. I mean, I would like to give it a try one time, at least for a couple of weeks, see how much I could spend. But I think we all would. It's kind of one of those things you think about. That kind of money is, I mean, that's $1,000 million for $1 billion. $1,000 million. I mean, what the heck, man? That's a lot of money. Okay? So there are people out there that have extremely high net worths. But guys, I'm telling you, the vast majority of the people that are worth $50 million and up, not all of them, but the vast majority of them, somebody gave these boys and girls a nod. Somebody gave them a nod and allowed them to do that as far as having that type of net income or net worth. And Donald Trump, in my opinion, is not one of them. And that's my opinion. Austin, what do you think, bud? Okay, Austin is not there, so we will go forward with another story. And you know, it's interesting, guys, because, you know, we see this stuff that's happening all over the place. I mean, Los Angeles now, their health officials are predicting that the county will slowly lift restrictions over the next 3 months. Los Angeles County officials are eyeing with all certainty to extend its stay-at-home order for 3 more months. Unbelievable. As part of the effort to combat the Chinese coronavirus pandemic. Chinese. They have to throw the Chinese coronavirus in there. Reports the Los Angeles Times. Make sure they throw the Chinese in there so you get mad at the Chinese. Barbara Ferrer, director of Los Angeles Department of Public Health, told the County Board of Supervisors that officials are likely to extend the stay-at-home efforts through July, and said the country's hope, the country's hope is that by using the data, we'll be able to slowly lift restrictions over the next 3 months. Guys, they're lying. They don't have any intentions of lifting the restrictions in the next 3 months. Don't you remember when we told you guys that Donald Trump was lying about having churches start back on Easter Sunday? And I told you guys, he's lying. He's not going to do that. I mean, now Easter's come and gone, and now the churches are still closed. And now this mega church pastor is going to get slammed for doing what he's doing. You watch. Oh, I can't believe you're doing this. Blah, blah, blah. It'll all go berserk on him. And he'll get eviscerated in the press. Guys, it's all about controlling demand, controlling the economy, preventing hyperinflation, maintaining the petrodollar. That's the number one reason for the international bankers to continue their sacking of the world and bringing everybody back into indentured servitude. Austin, what do you think?
Well said, and it's also, in my opinion, one of the most effective tools they've ever done now as an excuse to monitor and track everyone. I've been following up,
exactly,
really reaching and just researching and watching on what's been going on. And you notice now, it started off with, hey, everybody using an easy social distancing. That's fine. You guys just need to social distance. You know, you don't worry about anything. Just don't be super close to one another. Then it came to all of a sudden, okay, we got to start shutting down businesses that are non-essential. Then it went to a full-blown lockdown quarantine. Everybody needs to basically stay in their homes and shelter in a place and only leave the house if you have to go to the hospital or the store. Then it came to, not only are you going to shelter in place, but if you get caught doing anything, even on your own in places that we close down, we're now going to arrest you and or fine you. Now it's coming down to, that's not enough. Now we have to do contact tracing. You've heard that term used repeatedly over the last few weeks now, contact tracing, contact tracing. The term contact tracing, what it is, it's a fancy, politically correct way of saying monitoring your butt 24 hours a day and watching every single thing you do and everywhere you go. Now, a lot of people are going to argue and say, hey, the NSA already does that. You're absolutely right. You won't even get an argument with me with that. However, you have to understand, most of the stuff that the NSA collects is benign. They collect it on your phone. It goes in that giant server in Utah, collects data searches, data shuffles, algorithms, and that's about it. You got to think about how much information they get. And the problem is, a lot of times, when people still get busted when this stuff goes away. Now, the NSA collects a lot of this stuff. They don't generally disperse it unless it's needed or the Department of Justice or the FBI or something wants information. It pretty much stays data logged with the NSA because you got to think about 330 million people's information of what they do. Physically, people can't physically go through all that. It's physically impossible. That's why it's done with these big old quantum computers. Well, what we are finding out now is this new bill, H.R. 666, is working in turn with an older policy that was already put into place but was never actually implemented in December 2013. This is very strange. It's called SORN, SORN09-20-0171. It's on basically the website of HHS.gov. And what it is, it's titled Quarantine and Traveler Related Activities, including records for contact tracing investigation and notification under 42 CFR Part 7071. Now, if you scroll all the way to the bottom of this, you will see that it shows it was last reviewed and updated December 19, 2017. There's nothing in this whole thing from HHS about COVID-19. The term COVID-19 doesn't even exist in here. This is all about some type of pandemic. If it were to occur, this gets implemented. This is what H.R. 6666 is going to put into place. Now, what's crazy about this, I started reading this. The Department of Health and Human Services and Center for Disease Control will have control of this. It will be their policy. The contact tracing data, this is also on nationalfile.com. I'll post it on the website today. The contact tracing data may be sent to anyone in the World Health Organization, any and all law enforcement authorities to place someone under quarantine and isolation. The contact tracing records will be stored at the CDC, can be sent to the Department of Justice, the State Department, the Department of Homeland Security, congressional officers, any various medical, legal departments, and any contractors. In this bill as well, $100 billion will be done to authorize grants to contractors to conduct contact tracing at people's homes. This whole thing, as I told you guys before, is so grossly disturbing. The fact that they're wanting to put this out there is quite troubling. When I read about it today, and it basically said the information can be disclosed to contractors, it can be disclosed to state and health, law and health department, it can be disclosed to the WHO, it's disclosed to the Department of State and embassy personnel, it's disclosed to Homeland Security, it's disclosed to medical personnel, it's disclosed to federal, state, and local authorities to take necessary action to place someone under quarantine and isolation for enforcement of other quarantine regulations. It's also disclosed to records to any cooperating state and local legal departments enforcing concurrent legal authority related to quarantine or isolation activities. The list goes on and on and on, guys. What this is going to do, this is going to build a giant national tracking database. It is going to track your every move on your phone, and not just your every move, every single person you come remotely in contact with, and it is going to disperse the information to everybody in the government, not just the NSA, everybody, including federal, local, and state law enforcement. What it's going to do is, anytime somebody is not compliant with social distancing, anybody is not compliant with a quarantine order, it is automatically going to notify law enforcement. It says it right here in this statement. Number 7, personal information will be disclosed to federal, state, local authorities for taking necessary action to place someone under quarantine or isolation for enforcement of other quarantine regulations or to protect the public's health or safety. That means they're going to give your contact tracing information that's on your phone of everywhere you go, everything you do, every person you come in contact to every single federal, state, and local law enforcement, and they can do with it as they deem necessary, including forced isolation or the basically enforcement of any quarantine regulation or to protect the public's health and safety. This is giving a blank check to all law enforcement across the entire country to literally do anything they want to you at any point in time if you don't obey them and do exactly where you're supposed to with social distancing and walking around and being involved with certain people. This is so far anti-constitutional. It makes the NSA and the Patriot Act look like this was cookie crumbs on the counter that you swept on the floor. This is the big stake. This is it, guys. If they get this bill into law and they actually pass this and fully implement this federally, we will cease to exist as the United States of America as a free country anymore. I don't ever say that normally, but the more I've read about this and what they're trying to do with contact tracing and why all these media agencies are pushing that term, they're pushing it because it sounds really cool. Oh, yeah, we're going to contact trace. Somebody's come in contact with somebody. We want to make sure, you know, because it's for your protection, remember? And, you know, you're either with us or you're with the virus. If you're not supporting contact tracing, then you want people to die. You don't want people to die, do you? Well, no, I don't want people to die. Good. Then you're for contact tracing. And you go, okay, I guess I'm for contact tracing, whatever. And nobody's going to realize what's about to happen. And also, too, the thing that nobody's even factoring in this, the reason why they're putting this contact tracing together and they're doing it with all these local law enforcement and all these federal authorities and the Department of Justice and Department of Defense and congressional issues and WHO and everybody else, they are also going to tie this into the vaccine program that they implement at the beginning of next year. That way, they're going to have a full contact tracing of everything you've done for the last 6 months and once you get your vaccine certificate. So like Dad said, a lot of people are going to get vaccinated. A lot of people are going to stop running their mouth, and they're going to capitulate when it comes down to basically put your money where your mouth is. I already know that. And what's going to happen is all that information is going to be data logged. All the curriculum, all the tracing, all the monitoring, all the surveillance is already going to be in place for 6 months. So when you get your vaccine, you're going to get a green light on your phone. Oh, guess what? We no longer have to contact trace you as aggressively. We're just going to mildly contact trace you for your protection. And you're going to go, oh, good, I can run about now, and I don't have to worry about getting arrested for coming in contact with somebody or leaving my house when they tell me I can't. Yay, I can leave the home. And then they're going to have the short list, and they're going to have what we have referred to as the red list. That red list or short list is going to be all the people in the country that they've monitored for the last few months and that refused to get a vaccine. And now all of a sudden, you're not going to have to take 330 million people and try to basically forcibly disarm them or forcibly quarantine them. Now you're probably going to have 3 or 4 million people that are actually going to hold their ground. And the with that issue comes is that that is going to be the point in time, if we reach that, we're all going to have to band together as a patriot community. Now, I hope that number is 40, 50, 60 million people refuse to get this vaccine. That's what I hope it goes to. I hope the American population impresses me with this and they don't capitulate. Because if that's the case, they're going to have a lot harder time. But if you think about it, if there's only 3 or 4 million people that resist this, and they basically are spread out across the entire United States, it's not going to be hard to basically starve them out. You tell them they can't go to the store. You tell them they can't have their kids. You tell them they can't go to school. You tell them if they're caught out and about and they get pulled over. Because remember, guys, we already have our tags monitored. They already watch you when you go on the toll booths. They already take photos of everything you do when you're on these roads now. So they're going to be able to pick up and say, okay, we have John Smith right here, just got picked up on a traffic camera, tag operating. He's been told to quarantine. He's refused to get his vaccine. He's not allowed to leave his home right now. Pull him over, arrest him, charge him with basically failure to quarantine, and we're going to forcibly vaccine him when we get him into holding. And then we're basically going to basically allow him to have a green light now after we track him. That's where it's headed right now, guys. We're not there yet, and if we keep pushing this and keep saying no and keep saying, hey, we're going to open our businesses. Hey, it's May. We're going to work. We're going to make money. We're going to stack cash. This is America, last time I checked. Then they're going to have a very difficult time doing all this. The more and more people refuse to obey unconstitutional orders. But the more I've seen this today, and now I saw earlier, too, that Chelsea Clinton, of course, why would you be surprised that she's involved in this because of her mom? We're now finding that Chelsea Clinton is on the board of trustees of one of the largest official contact tracing groups that is now taking huge grants and large sums of money from Bill Gates and George Soros organizations. I mean, why would you expect Chelsea Clinton to be anything other than a miniature version of her mom? I mean, this is, you see how they groomed her. So this is where it's headed. This is what they're doing. I've laid it out now. Now you have to make the decision on what you're going to do and how vocal you're going to get on this, because I encourage everybody, wake up, speak your mind, get this information out there, and try to make a difference, Dad.
You know, awesome. You know, first of all, Chelsea should be Chelsea Hubble Clinton. You guys do the math on that. You know, I'm not going to go there. But the crazy part about it is that, you know, we've got to get a tipping point with the Patriots, a tipping point. We've got to get them off the stupid Q bandwagon, off the Trump bandwagon, and say, H-E double sticks, we're not going to take this anymore. We're not going to do it. We have to get to that point. Now, tipping point is 10%. So we need about 36 million to 40 million people. And they know that. They know what the numbers are. They know what the aggregate is. Because remember, the tipping point is what pushes the masses over to the tipping point and makes the other masses say, okay, we're not going to capitulate with these unlawful orders because these other 10% are not. It's a tipping point. And see, what they've done is they've done the algorithms or the data points on who in the world are the people who are the opinion leaders. And they're trying now their best to use as much propaganda as they can. Like Limbaugh right now, you know, again, he's completely partisan. I mean, the guy's dying of cancer, bless his heart. My condolences to him and his family. But he says the next 4 months will be a war like you've never seen, and the Democrats will try to keep the economy shut down. Now, here's the thing. He's still playing partisan politics. You know, and the problem we've got, Austin, is that they're taking these stimulus checks and they're giving these people the money. They're paying the unemployment to the end of this month, you know, like $600, $700 a week or whatever it is. People who have been laid off haven't really felt the bite because they're still getting their $600 or $700 a week unemployment checks. Now, if this runs out by the end of May, now Pelosi's up there trying to get another $3 trillion to extend it till the end of the year. If this runs out for the people that have been laid off, the 30 million unemployed, and we suddenly see people basically in food and bread lines, you know, the country will be ready for a revolution because people are starving to death. This is exactly what they did with the Soviet Union. I mean, it's the same thing. They starved them. And when you start starving the people and you cut off the supply of food, then it becomes the rich people's fault. So if you have a car that's 3 years old and they consider you to be rich, or a truck that's 3 years old or 4 years old and they consider you to be rich, or you live in a nice home and you got a 2,000 square foot home or whatever, they consider you to be rich, they're going to target you. They're going to say, oh, it's the rich people's fault that we don't have food because they hoarded all the money. And this is what they did in the Russian Revolution. It took 17, 18, 20 years to get the Soviet Union, or not Soviet Union, Russia, to collapse with the Tsar. This is how they always do it. They're not in a hurry. They don't care. It's like a game to them. It's like they're playing three-dimensional chess, all right, but it's with our lives. Donald Trump is not. He's just a Rothschild cutout who doesn't want to release his banking records. We'll all know he's a fraud. So what we have here is a group of people, Austin, that have gone into that have taken us to an Orwellian nightmare, and they want to have and we said this. We said this on the show 5 years ago. We started talking about medical martial law. That's what this is. We're pretty much under that right now with the stay-at-home orders. Medical martial law. And we have that one police officer out there, I believe in Seattle, who finally started telling his other police officers, hey, don't do this, don't listen. He gets basically an attaboy, and all of a sudden he gets got to pull it down to you, fired now. I mean, within a period of a couple of days. Why? Because the powers up above the people finally get to somebody who says, hey, we're going to fire the whole group of people all the way down if this doesn't stop. We're going to fire him, his boss, his boss, his boss, his boss, his boss, all the way down. So we're going to put so much political pressure on it that this guy's going to get terminated, or he's going to pull that video down. See, this is how they do what they do to censor people. You know, years ago, back in the 90s, I used to do 40 talk shows a week as a guest on peak months, you know, around Thanksgiving or like Christmas or whatever. But normally I would do anywhere from 10 to 15 shows a week. You know, I'm talking on huge, huge networks, sometimes syndicated shows with 200 and 300 stations at a time, huge amounts of people. And this was mainstream media. And I reached 100 million people minimum on those shows. I remember one time I'm in a raft in Colorado, and we're basically asked for a seminar, and I decided to go river rafting with the guy who was on the road with me as far as who ran the tape tables for me. And we're sitting in the raft, and all of a sudden some guy says to me, I know you. And I said, okay. He goes, you're Ted Brewer. You do the top 10 foods never to eat. And I'm like, that'd be me. He goes, I recognize your voice because it was radio. And I said, well, thanks. I mean, I told you guys a few weeks ago, we had a real nice guy. He pulled up in an 18-wheel truck at Sam's, put some fuel in his truck. And he says, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. Because I was talking to Harris on the phone. He goes, are you Ted Brewer? And I said, well, yeah, I am. He says, I recognize your voice. They couldn't have me on radio talking about how bad hydrogenated oils were, how bad aspartame was, how bad statin drugs were, how bad we had the problems with ADD and ADHD and the use of Ritalin and Adderall. And they sure told me repeatedly that I couldn't talk about vaccines. This is 30 years ago. And here's the problem we have. The people who were out there who were vocal, they've all been now shadow banned. You know, we were pulled off YouTube 2.5 years ago. I mean, you guys say, well, that was a long time ago. Yeah, we'll try to get the – we're trying to get a studio set up. I'll let you guys know what it's going to cost. Maybe you guys can help us with it. So we'll have a video thing, and then what we'll do is we'll embed the videos. We won't have the kind of reach that we would have on YouTube, but we can still have people send the links out, and they won't be censored. We've got to figure out a way – to get the word out more and more and more. Because, guys, this is the thing. We're all playing for blood right now. This isn't a game anymore. This is full-blown medical martial law. Come and take your children away if you don't vaccinate them. What are you going to do? What are you going to do if they come and your little 2-year-old or your little 4-year-old or your little 6-year-old who's super healthy, who's never been vaccinated, and they come in with a big hypodermic needle with a bunch of guys with guns? What are you going to do? This is going to be a nightmare if this progresses like this. And this is the Bill Gates, Fauci group. That's basically the Rothschild group, the Kabbalist group that want to do this. And we have to understand that the international banks are at the center of all of this. And for some reason, this concept has eluded almost every other alternative talk show host. You got to follow the money, guys, and you got to look at who's doing this and why they're doing it, to bring us under our one world government, under Noahide laws, whereas if you become a Christian and you talk about Jesus, that's idolatry to them, and they take you to the guillotine. That's what they're doing. This whole thing's nuts. That's why we always try to bring the points back. But now we got Rush Limbaugh, who basically is being paid 40, 50, 60 million a year, whatever he makes, is basically pushing this thing back to partisan politics and not even realizing, or at least not talking about, what's really going on. Austin, what do you think, bud?
That's really well said, and that's what a lot of stuff always tries to tie back to, is a left-right narrative. That's why they're continually doing this stuff with Obama now. They're trying to go back and forth. They have to constantly have that evil versus good on the screen, on the TV screen, so you have the movie context of what's going on. You have the good guy and the bad guy. The leftists hate Trump, they love Obama. The right love Trump, they hate Obama. And it goes back and forth, so you have that constant narrative, that constant conflict on TV, and people eat it up like it's a movie. What people don't realize is it's just a movie. It's not real life anymore. And I mean, you understand what I'm saying? They're doing this to keep people subdued, so they're constantly focusing on what's going on. You know, the Mexican, basically U.S. government in Mexico, which this is something that I am glad they're bringing this up, because this is accurate. The Mexican president, Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador, is now accusing the ex-president of the United States, Obama, and key members of the Obama administration of breaking international law to invade Mexico with Operation Fast and the Furious. They have now basically demanded a full-blown investigation and warrant basically a investigation into Obama on the Fast and Furious scandal. Now, the problem is this is like a day late and a dollar short. That was like, what, 10 years ago, I think, when that happened now, 11 or 9 years ago. And what he said was, he goes, this is a violation of our sovereignty carried out by the ATF. It's a secret operation. Mexicans were killed with these weapons. How could this be? A government that invades in this way, that flagrantly violates sovereignty and international law, we have to shine a light so this action of type will never be carried out again. And it's time for the U.S. to apologize. Now, this more than likely will not go out with much of anything. This is probably going to be just, you know, lip service to keep everybody subdued. But however, this information can be brought to light again. I have brought it up for a decade. This was one of the most irate things that I've ever seen as far as making me angry with the Obama administration from 2009 to 2011, where the ATF blatantly not only violated international law, violated gun laws, violated public trust, violated their own laws, while they intentionally allowed and tracked and provided the illegal sale of over 2,000 firearms, including automatic weapons and 50 caliber weapons, to the Mexican drug cartel that they, in my opinion, intentionally lost and funneled. They kept saying that, oh, we lost them. We don't know what happened with the straw purchasers. We just lost all these 50 caliber Barretts. We lost all these fully automatic AK-47s. We don't know what happened to them. My opinion off the record, they intentionally did this because they were trying to arm the Mexican drug cartel again, and they got busted. And so they put it up under his Operation Fast and Furious, guys, remember what they did with basically MENA, Arkansas, the CIA, with running guns down there to Colombia and bringing dope back and forth, and they got busted. Oh, it was an operation. You know, this individual went rogue. We didn't know what he was doing. We had no idea what was going on. I could either confirm or deny any of these allegations that are set forth. We don't know what's going on. Paper bag, burn everything. Never happened. Didn't happen. We never touched him. Nothing. They already did it. They do it all the time. And they got busted doing it again. At the same time, ATF wants to go and harass people for bump fire stocks. At the same time, ATF wants to go invade compounds like Waco and do 51-day sieges on them. At the same time, ATF's running machine guns and 50-caliber weapons to the Mexican drug cartel and accidentally loses them. I think Mexico is massively, basically, being just incredibly easy right now. I mean, they're being very soft on this. This has been something that should have been all over the news nonstop. This, in and of itself, should have gotten an impeachment of Barack Obama, especially with the involvement that he had tying into Benghazi right after this. And there are reports that the weapons that were going down to Mexico were much more in excess of basically the 2,000 weapons. This is one of the operations. I talked about this about 5 or 6 years ago on the Hagman Report. Dave Hodges reported on it as well. That the Operation Fast and Furious, the 2,000 weapons, that was just one of the ops. That there were upwards of almost a dozen operations, including pushing weapons down to the islands, pushing weapons down to Honduras, pushing weapons down to Central America, and then trafficking them over to Libya, including children, including money laundering, all this stuff, involvement under Obama. This is what needs to be investigated. This whole Russian spygate, Russian collusion. Guys, it's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life that they're still talking about this right now. We already know it's a complete and total debacle. We knew it was a complete and total fallacy. We knew what was going on behind it from the very beginning. But again, it's to keep the narrative in that direction so they can keep focusing on stuff that has zero impact, that doesn't matter one single bit, so they can keep people off of Operation Fast and Furious. They can keep people off of the fact that Fauci is saying they need to have fully vaccinated children before you let them back to school. Keep them off the fact that the Department of Justice, Homeland Defense, the CDC, the World Health Organization, and every single local federal law, state enforcement is going to be involved in contact tracing. Your every single move, everywhere you go, everything you do, and tell you what you can and can't do, or if you've been too close to somebody, or you're not quarantining your house long enough, and they're trying to push that through. That's what this is all about. It's always about obfuscation. And now you got Pelosi, like Dad said, pushing this new $3 trillion bill. Ironically, this is the funny part about this. So the bill, they're saying, well, we're going to do a second round of economic stimulus of $1,200 per family member. Every family member gets $1,200. Well, there's 330 million people in the country. $1,200, if every single man, woman, child, and infant got $1,200, that would be $396 billion to the entire country. Where the heck is the rest of the $3 trillion, or should I say $2.6 trillion going? Oh, they're giving $1 trillion, hey, guess what, to state, local, and tribal governments who need to disperse funds to pay for vital workers like first responders. Really? $2 trillion to local, basically state, local, and governments? $1 trillion to pay out to those guys? They're not paying these guys that, guys. They're dispersing this fund so they can spend it on what they need to spend it on. They're also saying, oh, we're going to give $75 billion to contact tracing apps. Oh, of course they are. Oh, we're going to help out with worker safety and make sure OSHA issues strong enforceable standards. Okay. Where's the other money going? The numbers don't add up, just like it didn't with the $2.2 trillion bill. They put these huge numbers in there that people can't even comprehend how much money this is. Oh, we're going to give $75 billion here. We're going to give $400 billion to the American populace. We're going to give, you know, $500 million here. Guys, when you start dealing with $1 trillion, that is an astronomical amount of money. Who's going to pay for all this stuff? Where's it going to come from? Oh, that's right, the American populace, the taxpayer. Remember I told you guys before? Mark my words on this, by the end of this year, when the new budget comes out and they got to figure out now the probably $30+ trillion we're going to be in debt by the end of the year, how they're going to possibly try to fund that and float that. Oh, guess what? We're probably going to have a COVID-19 resettlement or rebuilding program they're going to put together, and they're going to start putting COVID-19 taxes on almost every single thing you buy. Mark my words, guys, that will be coming next. And they're going to say, listen, guys, it wasn't our fault. It was COVID-19. We have to put this tax out there to rebuild the country. We have to rebuild all this stuff now. That's going to be the next thing they're going to do. And everybody's going to go, but, I thought the $1,200 was free that I got. Oh, contraire, my good friend. The $1,200 was never free. And the multi-trillions of dollars that went all the state and local governments, that money's already spent. That money's already funneled and bribed and pushed and black-holed down in black ops and everything they want to dump it in. Just like now the government's put out another $138 million contract to APG Systems. Apajet Systems America for two projects known as Project Jumpstart and Rapid USA for $138 million. What are they doing with $138 million they just got from the Department of Health and Human Services? Oh, they're building injection devices ready to go. Oh, what kind of injection devices are these? I couldn't possibly figure this out. Oh, their goal is to build 500 million pre-filled syringes that are already pre-ready to go injection devices. What are these injection devices going to be like? Oh, they're going to be well-established blow-fill-seal aseptic plastic manufactured technology preloaded syringes, and 500 of them. There will be a safe and proven vaccine injectable application. Well, doesn't that sound oddly strange, the same thing to what we heard Bill Gates talk about months ago on the the biometric tracing injection that he wanted to use, where it injected into you and basically left a biometric marker so they could scan it with a light and see if you had your shot? Quite odd they're not just using a normal insulin syringe anymore or an even standard intramuscular syringe anymore. What happened to all those? What happened to a normal injection from a vaccine? Now we have a $138 million contract for pre-filled, blow-fill-fill, aseptic plastic manufacturing technology syringes, whatever that even means. And they're planning on distributing them with 500 million syringes ready to go by the end of the year. Wake up, guys, and see what's going on. The big picture is right in front of you, and it's right now, guys, that you make that decision, if you have that conviction, to stand your ground and get this information out there, Dad.
You know, Austin, it's just, like I said, medical martial law. One more thing. You got to ask yourself a question. Now, Congress has got a new bill. It's got a mom-and-pop landlord bill. It's a socialist new bill, and it's before Congress basically re-regulate the entire housing industry as far as rent. And mom and pop landlords, they define as a real estate investors who own 10 or fewer properties, who own about half of all the rental units nationwide. And according to CoreLogic, a real estate data company, the number of small investors is growing. In 2018, they were responsible for 60% of all purchases as compared to 48% in 2013. See, now we have to take responsibility for workers and family act. This is being proposed, House bill. It's again the communists. It's the mom and pop landlord. It's the people who have often put their entire life savings in order to make a little bit extra money by having a piece of property they can rent. This is crazy. This emergency rent mortgage cancellation legislation that's sponsored by Ilhan Omar, this great Muslim up there. It's unbelievable. This bill first floated the idea of Congress mandated payment cancellation for all rent effective April 20th and lasting duration. Now they can't be evicted if they don't pay the rent, and no interest or late payment could accrue. Landlords could apply for help with the payments since they now bear the brunt of the cost of maintaining the property, including mortgage interest, property tax, insurance, HOA, repairs, and the like. But here's the catch. Under the emergency rent and mortgage cancellation legislation, if the landlord gets help, then he has to agree to some terms. Landlords to receive relief funds through the HUD program must agree to the following fair renting terms for a period of 5 years. You got to freeze the rent for 5 years. They'll only have just cause evictions, mandatory documentation with any just cause eviction, no source of income discrimination, coordination with local housing authorities to make new vacancies eligible to the voucher voters and holders, provision of 10% equity to tenants, and no admission restrictions on the basis of sexual identity or orientation. Here we go. Gender identity or expression. conviction or arrest record, so you have basically a child molester in your house, credit history. You can't check the credit history, and no immigration status. So if you're a mom-and-pop landlord, congratulations. You just got a new partner. It's your tenant who hasn't put a dime into the property and has lived there for free for months. Wow. Guys, this is unbelievable. Now, there's the Take Responsibility for the Workers and Families Act, and that's basically was introduced on 5/12, and basically you can read it and click on it at our website. There are 1,400 pages of this act, 1,400 pages. You know, you have to take it and read it for a week just to figure out what the heck they're talking about. Guys, remember, if you own regular rentals, be prepared. You're going to be subsidizing your tenants. And so it's bad. Now, if you own regular rentals, it's even worse. The following applies for all property referred to as the covered dwellings in the act. So you got to take a look at everything they're doing. So I'm going to go ahead and let you go ahead and look at what's going on. We have it posted on our website, and you can read this on your own. I mean, unbelievable. According to data from the National Apartment and Rental Association, Real Capital Analytics, the Institute for Real Estate Management, for every dollar of rent that is received, the following is now allocated. 39 cents goes to the mortgage payment. 14 cents goes to property taxes. 27 cents goes to ongoing maintenance. 10 cents goes to major improvements. And just 9 cents goes to the owner. 9 cents goes to the owner. I mean, this is unbelievable. This is pure communism, guys. They're seizing everything. It's what they do. It's what they always do. Their greed has no boundaries. Guys, always remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And this is the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. And we will continue to fight the good fight. We will go to heaven, I believe, with all of my heart, and God's going to say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've proven much as far as what you did on this planet Earth. Guys, we have to thank God daily for His Word and for the abilities that He's given us and for the fact that we know the truth, and the truth will set us free. I love you guys. I appreciate you all to finish it up, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Absolutely, guys. And continually thank you for the emails and phone calls and everything we're getting and the support. We're trying to keep up with everything as much as we can. I'm right in the final stages of this house build right now, so I'm hopefully we'll be done with it by the beginning of June, which will be really, really nice. Be right at 12 months that I started on it. So it'll be really, really nice to move in and relax and not be back and forth all day and stay more focused on the business and everything that's going on in the middle of all this other stuff that's going on right now. So thank you for bearing with us on the emails. I am behind on those. I'll be up to date on those probably by the end of the week. I'm trying to get caught up. There's been a lot of emails the last week. If you need immediate service or you need to ask a question or need help at the office, please feel free to call us, 1-800-726-1834. I encourage people to do that just for the fact that sometimes people email me and they're like, they just have a minor question about a certain product. I don't mind answering those, but when you get, you know, 40, 50, 60 of those a day, it takes a while to add up on them. And, you know, I keep staff on deck all day, every day to answer phones. Most companies don't do that, guys. I do that here every day because I want to make sure if you have an issue, if you have a problem, you can get a hold of our staff immediately, not go through an operator, not go to Thailand, not get put on hold for 50 minutes. You know, sometimes we get delays on stuff, but we do our best to answer the phone calls as quickly as possible. So please, if you have a question, you have a concern, you need help with supplements, you need help with health and diet, give us a call. We'll be happy to help you out and get you the right supplements on the right track to keep your immune system strong at healthmasters.com. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.